Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies. Today's day 26 of the Season of the Witch. And today we're talking about one of the most interesting and, perhaps somewhat divisive, as his career progressed, directors in horror. And that's Dario Argento, the Italian master of horror. Now, Argento has been making movies since the 70s, and really, if you want to talk about just his best movies, you're talking about the 70s and the 80s. That's not to say that he stopped making movies or they stopped being involved with movies, but the quality, it just started lacking at some point after like the late 80s. It just wasn't there. And Argento himself really got interested in doing other stuff, such as kind of writing more for other people and not so much being the director behind the camera. However, when he was directing, and even in what he writes, I think that you can really cut that into two separate sections. In the end, I feel that he really is known for his work on the Giallo movies of the 70s and a couple in the 80s, and also his supernatural movies. Now, one of the things that I really enjoy about Argento, which I've commented on in the past, is just the surreal nature of his movies. They rarely make sense. And now you would think that that's something that, I don't know, is kind of important in order for someone to enjoy a movie. But when I say that they don't make sense, I mean that narratively there's some weird, like, logical steps and some choices that are interesting, but it somehow works because of Argento's focus on style and the propulsive nature of his the music in his movies. Now, I guess you can really make an argument that his movies are silly as well. And to be fair, I think that kind of adds to the appeal because there's some weird, silly shit in a lot of his movies. Like, I'm thinking specifically of this one sequence in Tenebrae where one of the characters, Maria, happens upon a dog, and the dog starts barking at her, and she kicks at the fence that the dog is behind. Not that most people would do that, but I can see most people seeing a dog behind a fence and be like, ah, fuck you, dog, get the hell away. You know, strange dog. But this dog ends up jumping over the fence, and then for 3 minutes of this movie, chases Maria for, like, blocks. Like, the tenacity of this dog who actually chases her into a park, attacks her, and then kind of loses interest, and then continues to chase after her when she runs away is kind of nuts. And if you think about it, I don't think most dogs, after they've attacked you, that they would still continue, and they lose track of you, would still continue to chase you down and come after you, at least not in a city. You know, it's not something that you would expect to see, but this very much happens in this movie. And I bring this up because in thinking about Argento, this ridiculous scene is one that I think about all the time. And I think it encapsulates just the appeal of Argento, because you have this sequence that really has nothing whatsoever to do with anything else in the movie. It really, and this is something in the middle of the movie. It's not like it's like a way to begin the movie, but it has these elements of horror, because who hasn't passed by a house or someplace where there's a mean-looking dog who starts barking at you, and not, you know, not necessarily like you're gonna piss your pants, but you're like, oh man, like if that dog comes after me, I gotta watch out. You know, like there is that like carnal fear of, or not carnal, there's that primal fear of being chased by an animal, right? But the logistics and the logic of that scene makes absolutely no goddamn sense. And yeah, I mean, I think that is a good little microcosm of what Argento's movies are like. And I think if you watch, like, if you find this clip and you watch it and you enjoy it, then you're probably going to enjoy Argento's movies. If you watch this and think it's the dumbest shit ever, then you're probably going to hate his movies, because there's a lot of weird stuff like that in Argento movies. Now, I really kind of wanted to spotlight some of his movies, and as I said, Some of his, a lot of his earlier work and some of his later work in the 80s, sporadic more so, after Suspiria, were within the giallo subgenre of horror. And giallo is basically this melding of detective stories and usually about serial killers. And we're following, it's a mystery trying to figure out who the killer is. And in Argento movies specifically, they usually doesn't make sense. They're fun to watch, and there's usually some, like, there's these choices that are made in these movies that are interesting, and that kind of, even not with Argento, but other directors, they kind of follow where we focus much more on the weapon that's being used and not so much on the killer. So they kind of, I guess, continue to up like the angle of who is this. It's not like a mass killer, it's just you never see them. Because obviously if you'd see them, you'd know right away. But yeah, like with that in mind, I wanted to talk about The Bird with the Crystal Plumage, which I believe was Argento's first movie as a director. It has music by my favorite Italian composer, Ennio Morricone. So just with the Morricone music alone, it makes it that much more epic. But The Bird with the Crystal Plumage is another one of these movies that basically we're following this American man who witnesses an attempted murder. And it's like the most interesting way of doing that, because he's across the street and sees through a window someone gets stabbed and then gets stuck in between like these two windows. He can't open either one. And like we know he ends up getting stuck because we see a gloved hand kind of push a button to get him, to kind of trap him in there. And so we have this scene of someone who is trying to help but is powerless to do so. And I think a lot of that is kind of the horror that we see in these type of movies. And there's like these extended sequences of people being not necessarily chased, but being in a situation where they can't get out of it. And the horror of either seeing someone attacked or being attacked and being stuck. And eventually this person's going to get through and going to get you. Or you're watching that happen to somebody else. And that's, I think, really interesting. Now, I don't really want to talk about the plots of these movies because, as I've mentioned, they kind of don't matter because Argento's movies don't really make sense. And, I mean, some of them make a bit more sense than others, but, yeah, overall, they don't really make sense. But it works. It works for, he's one of the few directors, I think, where that actually works. And it's, I wouldn't say it's a benefit, but it's almost, you can just look past it in most of his movies. Another one of the, like, later giallos that Argento directed, and also I should add, I say Argento because he also wrote the majority of these movies himself, so it's, like, written and directed by Dario Argento, and eventually also starring his daughter. But he has definitive ideas. It's just, I think in his head it makes sense, but presenting that, something is lost in translation. In any case, another, I had talked about like Deep Red before, which I think is probably his most famous one, and that's another movie that just has like these weird logical inconsistencies, but just has like these striking visuals. And that's the thing with Argento, it's like these visuals are just amazing, and the setups for how he does things are great. And as time passed, as he did directed more and more movies, that just got better. One of his later movies from the 80s, or later in comparison to his early 70s movies, that is also a giallo, is Tenebrae, which is the story of these murders that are being committed based on the books by the author Peter Neal, who is played by Anthony Franciosa. So we have this idea of trying to figure out who is the killer while we follow around Peter and his literary agent Bulmer, played by John Saxon, who apparently shows up in every movie ever. Another movie just has like these crazy instances. Like I mentioned, that whole sequence with the dog that really has nothing to do with anything, but in this one we basically have this person that's going around reenacting scenes from you know, these books, killing people with a old-time, like, straight razor and stuffing pages from the book into their victims' mouths. It's great. It's a lot of very entertaining, crazy movie. Now, after Suspiria in 1977, which I will get back to for a second, even though I've talked about it, most of Argento's movies really switched from being like these kind of giallo murder mysteries to more supernatural things. And one of those movies was Phenomena, starring a very young Jennifer Connelly as Jennifer Corvino, the daughter of an actor who basically has psychic powers. And her psychic powers specifically are that she can control insects. Kind of weird. But this movie, I think, is interesting just because we get a very young Jennifer Connelly basically not really doing much except kind of being eye candy. And this whole idea of her being psychic, but specifically psychic towards controlling bugs, and even using that in order to, like when she gets to this, we follow her being transferred to the Richard Wagner school, like girls' school, and soon after she's there, these murders start occurring, and not that she's the suspect or anything, but it's sort of coincidental, and this other phenomena, kind of going to that title, about related to insects starts occurring, kind of like they start attacking people, or not necessarily attacking people, but they start being related to these murders. Like the victims are found covered in insects, or Jennifer Connelly herself is almost like communicating with insects. It's an interesting idea, if not necessarily the most effective movie, but you know, when you're coming up with some crazy ideas, sometimes not everything's going to hit. But if you want to see like a young Jennifer Connelly, I think this is like maybe the third movie she was in. It's worth checking out for that alone. Another movie that Argento came out with in 1987 was Opera, which almost in a way kind of melded this supernatural element with this almost giallo style of, not of horror, but this, like, some elements of giallo, where we follow this opera singer, Betty, who gets her big chance in a production of Macbeth after the main opera singer in the story gets run over by a car. Unfortunately for her, we have a man who becomes obsessed with her and starts trying to kill off everybody in the opera house. This is another just very interesting, very odd movie, and another movie that I think really does, it really just kind of showcases Dario Argento and the kind of crazy ideas that he has, and in a way, it's like Argento trying to be more operatic, which there's definite, like, elements of opera in his movies, and not in the sense that he's trying to write an opera, but more of these grandiose ideas and over the top sort of elements to his movies, to the acting, to just kind of everything that's being presented in the visuals, in the story itself, the fact that there's these logical leaps that you kind of just have to follow and kind of go along with to enjoy the movie. Opera is, I think it's better than Phenomena. It's interesting, and it might actually be the last, like, decent Dario Argento movie. After this, it's, first of all, like, after Opera, he kind of stepped away from directing and started really focusing on writing more so than anything. But really, once he started coming back to movies as a director, it just wasn't the same. And unfortunately, I think that's kind of hurt his legacy, is this, we had this director who was really great and then just kind of fell off, unfortunately, and people some horror fans kind of have knocked him for it. But when you have movies like, you know, Deep Red and Suspiria, and even movies with like things that are just fucking nuts, like opera or phenomena, then I feel that you kind of, not that you earn the right to like fuck up and not be as good later on, but you earn the right for that to be dismissed or to be reevaluated later for what those movies are. Because Argento, if anything, really made an impact in horror. Now, I keep kind of going back to Suspiria, and the reason that I do is because Suspiria, it's probably his Argento's best-known movie, but it was also which is this ballet dancer who ends up kind of being these witches, and then not so much that she is a witch trying to find other witches, more so that she just kind of happens upon it. But in Inferno, we end up kind of going back, kind of having this dual story of this coven of witches in New York City, and kind of the same coven of witches, or the remnants of it in Freiburg, and we end up expanding on this whole idea of these witches. It's an interesting idea, definitely. But to say that I don't really know if this was just something that Argento just kind of made up when the second movie came out because he thought it'd be interesting, or what exactly happened. But this is the idea that we got. Now, as I mentioned, you know, the third of the movies, The Mother of Tears, came out in 2007. Much later, I don't know if the idea was originally to kind of have this movie come out much sooner, much more closer to Inferno and to Suspiria, but it's not what happened. They didn't come out for a long time. And interestingly enough, in Mother of Tears, we have Ozzie Argento in this movie, Ozzie Argento being the daughter of Dario Argento, and someone who has been a bit controversial more recently. But I think about this idea of kind of having this trilogy of movies around witches, and I think about like Suspiria and the remake with Tilda Swinton that came out in 2018, and how I think that movie ends up kind of playing off this idea a bit more, because we have this whole idea of Dakota Johnson showing up as like a more powerful witch out to destroy this evil coven of witches. And in a way, it's kind of interesting that they would do that, because it's sort of almost, and I might be misremembering the original Suspiria, because like I said, I don't really recall that being a plot point in the movie that they were actually trying to, or that Jessica Harper's character was there trying to really stop these witches. She just kind of just got more wrapped up into it and ended up being able to survive. But they make that whole idea more concrete in the remake, and it's almost like in Inferno was almost like a retcon of it, and then they just made it literal in that remake. So it's interesting. And to be perfectly honest, I think with Argento, that makes sense to have this silly idea and to just make it literal in a remake done by somebody else. Argento, like I said, you know, he might have fallen off, but his movies are endlessly watchable and entertaining from that period, from the 70s and 80s. And really, I think most directors, to be able to be that prolific and entertaining for a period of 20 years, not that it's not heard of, but it's not super common for a lot of people. We can say that of actors and anybody. And we also just have those movies to look upon. If you want to really just not worry about those later ones, then you can always ignore them as well. So that's it for today. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow.